Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello and good evening. Welcome back once again. We're so happy to have you here. We have a couple guests in our studio today.
Yes.
Happy to have Chief Joey Daniels with the CSED Fire Department. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
And Jacob is listening in, his son. So he's going to be the truth-o-meter here for his dad.
And because I love baseball, I'm very distracted because he's wearing a baseball
uniform. I know.
And I want to, I've already asked him a few questions.
But yeah.
I like want
to. You're wanting to just go sit and talk baseball and leave us here to do the rest.
It's, you know, I don't sports geek out a lot, but over baseball, I kind of do.
But you do. Yes, yeah. You do.
You might be in trouble because he would spend a few hours with you.
Yeah.
But I heard that he likes the Seattle Mariners.
Loves the Mariners.
So.
And youngest one on the travel team.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah. So. Pretty cool.
But hey, we had the Easter Bunny up at the column.
I saw that. That was like fun. On Easter.
On Easter.
Right.
Yeah, because
how'd you book
all,
him?
All these other places. Well, right. It was noon, so he'd already made his rounds.
He was done. Good.
Yes. But
it was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day, and it was fantastic. And then totally unrelated news, I have a huge thank you to Julie Kovach. From the Historical Society Board and our favorite local community college.
Oh, fine.
Totally unrelated to the Easter Bunny being there.
Sure, of course. Yes.
So thank you, Julie. You're a trooper. So you got anything or should we get right into
Let's do it. Let's go right into it.
All right. So, of course, these are things that happen tomorrow, as always, icebreakers or conversation around the fire station, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Good conversation.
So these are April 13th, things that happen tomorrow. 1796. The first elephant arrives in the U.S. from India.
And why?
I had to do a deeper dive.
Right.
Circus. I got to say circus.
You're dead on.
It was in 1796.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Barnum.
Barnum.
Yeah, and it was named Old Bet for whatever reason.
Okay.
And I guess there's like either a statue or like there's something called the Elephant Hotel still nearby or something. But
okay.
You all walked in right as I was doing the final. Because I was like, wait.
Final research.
Yeah, because there's always the story of from The King and I. That Siam offered like Abraham Lincoln a bunch of elephants, but that's 1860s.
Oh.
So I was curious why the first elephant was here. I was hoping maybe it was just like some zoo or somebody wanted to try to spread elephants throughout the country.
But nope.
Yeah. Circus. All right. 1860. This one, of course, is just for me. The first Pony Express rider arrives in Sacramento.
All right.
So that's a little misleading when I read it that way and the way that they wrote it up. It's the first male westward direction that arrives because it's not the same rider.
Oh,
that's why the Pony Express works. They each ride like 12 miles and hand it off to the next guy.
You're right.
Or actually, I'm sorry, 12 miles and they switch horses and they ride like 75 to 100 miles and then pass it off to another guy. So it's not the first rider. The first rider was Johnny Fry, who left from the stables in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Okay. I'm, that was just for you.
Yeah, it was just for me. 1861, Union forces surrender at Fort Sumner. After a 33-hour bombardment by Confederate cannons, Union forces surrender, Charleston Harbor, South Carolina. Great book by the same guy that wrote The Devil in White City. I know I've talked about it before, but it is an amazing, probably the best book I've ever read on the Civil War, and I did not write it down, the name of it. But if you just Google the guy that wrote Devil in the White City.
Okay.
And I have talked about it before because I just read it like a couple months ago. 1870, the Metropolitan Museum of Art opens in New York City.
The Met, yes.
Do we care? Have we been there?
I haven't.
New York City is one I want to get to.
Just one visit. That's all you need. 1970, Apollo 13 oxygen tank explodes.
Ooh.
Putting Tom Hanks's life in jeopardy. Very sad.
Right.
But, you know, we've misquoted it all these years. How does the movie portray it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Houston, we have a problem.
Right. And
it's
what is
actually
it?
What they actually broadcast. Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here.
Well.
So I don't know which is better.
I think Houston, we have a problem is better.
Probably more.
In Tom Hanks's voice, of course.
That's true. isn't everything better in Tom Hanks's voice?
It is, yes.
Okay. If we were a really expensive radio show, we'd insert Tom Hanks speaking right here.
Yep. Or if we were allowed to.
Yes.
Yeah.
1976, the U.S. introduces the discontinued and never popular $2 bill to mark the nation's bicentennial. I hate the $2 bill.
Intriguing. When was the $2 bill
introduced?
Right? See, that's what I don't know. I didn't check into when it was discontinued. Good question.
I don't know. See, $2 sounds better to have than $1 bills. I mean, $1 bills are so useless. I'd rather have two.
No, $2 bills are what grandpa gives to the grandkids.
It is.
It is.
And then it's annoying when you're a wonderful gift shop like many of the ones that the Historical Society have. And in the drawer, there's no place to put the $2 bill.
Bills. Right.
Underneath.
Yeah.
Underneath.
That's true.
And you don't have to give it back.
But then you think it's like a 20 or something.
Right. But then you don't have to make change.
That's true.
Just assume there's no change.
Have you ever seen a $2 bill? I'm asking the little one in the room. Nope. No. He's saying nope. Nope. Yeah. Because they're still around, even though they were discontinued.
The only thing it's good for is when the cash register person says, I need nickels. Can you give me a roll of $2 nickels and then take the $2 bill?
You go.
But yes. All right. Sorry for that rant, but I hate the $2 bill. 1992, Crystal Pepsi begins test marketing in Sacramento, Providence, Denver, Dallas, and Grand Rapids. We did a whole show about this.
We did. It's on our podcast if you want to hear about one of the scientists behind the Crystal Pepsi.
Isn't that an odd mix, though, of towns?
It is.
That is.
And such a weird thing, too.
Yeah. Like, where does Grand Rapids come into this? In Providence. All right. 1997. 21-year-old Tiger Woods wins the Masters tournament for the first time. Back when we loved Tiger Woods.
I know. I was going to say, no comments.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. We're moving on.
Too soon.
Soon. Like, literally too soon. Like, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. But our history highlight of the day, the thing that I think had the most impact, and usually I don't go for the great white man born. That most history
Except
has been up until the 1960s, but none of those jumped out at me as the most important significant thing. So 1743, Thomas Jefferson is born.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Very influential.
Writes the Declaration of Independence.
He does, yes.
President of the United States. Come on.
Okay. So, I'm not going to argue. Can argue with him?
No, I like that one. Actually, Jacobs loves history. We were just talking about presidents upstairs. So,
Who's your favorite president?
Up on the spot. It's hard. It's hard
on the spot. Because
I have four that are all tied.
All right.
Oh, four.
Four. What are the four?
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh.
Ooh. See, Teddy.
Okay.
This is like Max's favorite list.
Okay. Are you available to come on the show next week?
I love
this kid.
I know.
You know, my number one and two always flip between George Washington and Abraham Lincoln because I think they have to. But Thomas Jefferson, Tommy J, as I call him, and Theodore is always near the top as well.
Yeah.
I love both Roosevelts, but I love Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, so. Very influential. Right, that's great. Well, that's our segue we're also going to interview Jacob's dad, who's also here.
Who's wondering, like, why didn't I come?
Joe Daniels. I mean,
my wife actually told me, she said, just send Jacob there. You don't do anything.
I love it. And I adore his wife, too. Yeah. So thank you for giving up your boys for today, Jamie. But we do have Chief Joey Daniels here. He's with the Seaside Fire Department. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And bringing our other guest here today. But let's talk a little bit about you. So just to get us started, tell us where you're from.
You know, I'm actually from Seaside, but I grew up in El Paso, Texas, Fort Bliss.
Wow.
So, and then a military brat, which is famous for Clatsop County, a lot of military. And then I came back here when I was 4 or 5 and grew up in Seaside and I've always loved Seaside. And then went off to school. Actually went to the Army first, but forget that, Fort Benning. Got injured there, came back. And then I went to school for both criminal justice and fire science. I really liked fire science. I volunteered at the time while I was doing my criminal justice stuff. And I really like fire stuff. So I went into that field more and got lucky enough. I actually went overseas to, as one of the first contract firefighters in Iraq.
Oh,
way
wow.
Back in the day. Spent a year there in 2003-04 and came back and actually college is a good. I love the college. I ran the college fire science program for 3 years and maritime fire. So that was fun. Meanwhile, I was volunteering for Gearhart Fire at the time. Spent 16 years as a Gearhart volunteer fire department. 3 of those while I was paid with Seaside, my first 3. When I started in Seaside at 2009 as a training officer. It was their third hired position.
Oh, my goodness.
And 2012, I became the fire chief. And I'm still the fire chief with a great crew and a great staff of volunteers.
Okay, this could be a two-parter.
I know. Where do you start?
I should have been writing down the questions.
So, yes.
So trying to stay in order, because I always like to talk a little bit about, especially when it's not necessarily from Astoria. So Seaside, you come back when you're 4 or 5. So you grew up here. So talk a little bit about where does a kid hang out and what is the fun thing to do as a kid in Seaside?
You know, I had a lot of fun in Seaside. We'd go downtown. We'd always bike ride everywhere. I grew up on the north end of town. Used to be called the IWA Halls, called the Seaside Fitness Center now. But we went to the beach, did a lot of stuff with the estuary, played outside a lot. I don't think the city's changed too much. I mean, it did during the spring breaks. Those changed a lot over the years. Used to spend a lot of time down there. And then when they built Trend West, that kind of slowed down the chaos, I should say, and went to more family.
That's
nice. So yeah.
So we've read the book, and I don't think we had him on the show, but the Seaside Riots that were in the late 60s, I believe. So had it totally calmed down by the time you kind of remember spring breaks, or
no? They
do you remember the craziness.
They had a lot of craziness. You know, I remember when they used to bring OSP down, the Oregon State Police, big heavy, and they used to hang out at the Shiloh, and that was their headquarters. And one time they pushed him down to the beach, and that's where they held them at one time, and then the next time they ended up going downtown, and there was a few broken windows, but they were just intriguing times and some of the stuff you look back at and wonder. You know, they used to do a lot of beat cop stuff, a lot of cops you'd see walking up and down the street because they had to move people along before they got in trouble, and you don't see that as much anymore. I mean, you see, you know, just people having fun and more family oriented, which is great. But it definitely has got a lot busier. You know, you used to be able to roll up the carpets in the winter. And now it seems to me there is no winter. It's just a lot of great, you know, great people and all year round. So especially with events like the convention center was built, brought in a lot of winter time travel. So
when you were in school, at what point, like what grade or age did you start thinking law enforcement, fire, military, like which direction you're thinking of going?
I was thinking military probably the whole time. Mm-hmm.
Didn't really
want to go to school. I won't say that out loud. I ended up working in school, but I would have never probably thought about going to college at all. So the military was kind of the next best thing. When I got out and when you go to college and it's kind of different because it's something you go want to do. I had a lot of friends that were in law enforcement. I grew up with neighbors. I thought that was cool. Actually, when the Mighty Missouri was here in Astoria, I did traffic control as a county sheriff's cadet. So that gave me an orientation to traffic control.
What
a nightmare that was. So, I've had a lot of neat people in my life that kind of guided me to that. And then the fire stuff, like I said, I was more of a fluke. I just joined something to do while I was going to college and then really enjoyed it. But I didn't want to not finish, so my criminal justice, so I have associates in both. So it's been kind of nice, but I probably wouldn't have put me as going to college if it had been in my yearbook.
Mm-hmm. So what would they have said in your yearbook then? And his son's giggling.
I know. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. Probably would look at me more as the military type and staying in trouble. I had fun. I mean, it was fun growing up and hanging out and doing stuff. So it's, I was more outgoing like my kid is. I just like to play sports, not really a video game guy. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
So I'm always a little fascinated because I don't live in my hometown, but you do. So you are the fire chief and there are people that knew you when you might have been a young troublemaker like them. Do any of them give you grief about, look at you now?
Yeah, you know, things go full circle. They do, and they'll bite you later. A lot of people tell my wife all the time, you're in trouble. Your son's going to be like his father. But when, I don't know if you guys know Doug Barker or any of those.
Yes.
Cheryl, they grew up in the community forever. Doug actually was a volunteer in Seaside when I was there. His wife, Cheryl, was my third grade teacher. And I had an office space in the hallway, and she let me know about it all the time. But yeah, it's interesting going back and seeing all, and they come visit. But I mean, it's like a dream job. You know, I tell you what, I don't wear a watch because I enjoy working. I get to grow up, I get to play, get to raise my kid in my hometown. So, and doing what I love to do.
Nice. So there's always, it seems like there's always a good-natured rivalry between police departments and fire departments. Since you lived in both worlds for a little while, or talk a little bit about, is there such a thing, or is that a myth, or
is the fire department
far better than the police department?
No, everybody just gives us a hard time that we, you know, we're the poster child. Nobody, everybody loves the fire department, and everybody hates the police department. That's not necessarily true. We rub each other pretty good in Seaside because we're all good friends, and obviously we have to work together handling big events and sometimes tragedy, and so it's brought us closer. But I think just the community throughout Clatsop County, we all work together. If there's anything major, we're just too small to run major fires or incidents that we run into each other, cross each other's paths, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard, Camp Raelia. I think a lot of people say, you know, Seaside, and Gearhart, Cannon Beach. That's not true. We all work together. It's just a different name on the side of the truck. You wouldn't tell it when we work together. I mean, it's not uncommon for Astoria to work with Seaside just because we just move around so much. So, and then we deploy resources throughout the state and even other states almost every summer now to fight fire. And so we work hand in hand, and there's always going to be that rubbing between the two. And, you know, Chief Ham, I don't know if you guys are aware of him. He always tells me, oh, those hose jockeys, you know. So he's always giving me a hard time. But I think that that's kind of the nature of the beast. I always tell my guys, if people aren't giving you a hard time, then they probably don't have that close relationship. So it's always nice when you're giving each other a hard time. And it's a decompression for us. So
nice. Hose jockey. I've never heard that phrase, and I have the fire museum. Talk just really briefly, if you would, about your time in Iraq, fighting fires, or you said you were.
Yeah, I did. Actually, there was an Astorian, Daily Astorian thing about it when I got back. It was interesting because I don't know if they ever did any contract firefighters before, and it came up, and I got injured at Fort Benning when I was in the service. I wasn't there very long, and it was a fluke injury. And so I came home, and I still like to do that. And parents probably think I was nuts, seriously, to go back. But so they had contracts, just applied, and they asked me to go. So I went over there. It was a different beast. Worked with a lot of the military that, you know, I'd already used to. So, but we subsidized them. They just didn't have enough firefighters on the ground, and so there's a lot of resources you have to have in order to fly helicopters or have things. So it was interesting. It was probably one of the best things I ever got to do.
And fighting fires on bases in cities out in the whatever mountains, or
so I
got nothing about it.
Yeah, I got a whole different concept of what I was doing here versus what I did over there. First of all, the difference between 70 degree weather and 110 degree weather is different. I don't know the term dry heat, but it really doesn't exist, okay? It's just hot. So, but we had a lot of tents on fire. We'd have an Abrams tank catch fire and was coming towards us. And, you know, you just don't really, that's not in a book that you look up. And very often, some helicopters, just because of the heat, overheating. So we worked with both military and then civilian if they had contractors or subcontractors. So we dealt with both sides on the base, because it's not all necessarily military. Some of it's civilian. And at that point, the U.S. was basically rebuilding the bases. So you were working with the local nationals, too, if they were in down below in holes. And so we do what we call hold watch and make sure they didn't get in trouble. So it was a very interesting experience.
Wow. Feels like that could be a book.
I know. I think there's a lot more there. Yeah. So one thing you had said, too, when you got hired in Seaside, you were their third hired.
I was.
So what's changed? So tell me now, how many do you hired?
So back then, I was the third department, and I was the training officer. And at that time, Chief Dale Camareth and then Chris Dugan, which a lot of people know. He just sort of plugged for him. If you guys know Chris Dugan, lovely guy. He was a fire marshal, a longtime firefighter for Seaside. He is retiring from the Oregon State Fire Marshal's office this month after 5 years. So he's officially staying retired. He says his wife tells me. But anyway, yeah, we went from three, and then the call loads just kept going up. I think when I joined Seaside, we were around 700 calls a year, maybe 600, 700. Last year, we hit 1,965.
Oh my gosh.
So We actually went to 24-hour staffing last August. So we have two on 24s a day, and then we have four chiefs. So we have 10 staffing. And then we just got assigned emergency management. So the fire department started running that last July. We had a retiree, and so we're hiring somebody to fill that position. So we'll run that section of the city too.
So 1,900 calls a year.
1,965.
That is like four a day.
It's
good. How much of those are false alarms and, you know, the door was just left ajar, so we turn around and go back? How many of those are medical that you're just, because you're faster than the ambulance, that you get there first? And how many of those are fires or other things I might not be thinking of?
Well, there's a lot. Medical is just a big term. So a lot of people, when they use medical, like, oh, we just got a medical call. Well, that's a car accident. There's a lot that put in that medical field. You know, for us, a water rescue could be medical because we're working on a patient that had a heart attack or something. So we do a lot. So we have lifeguards. We run seasonally. So us in Cannon Beach are the only two in the state of Oregon that have lifeguards. So that's a big hire and taking care of every season. But it was really all over the place. We'll do, you know, a lot of fire, and then we'll do some wildfire, and then we'll do medical. We do a lot of lift assists for some of the care facilities we have. So, I mean, majority of our job, we'd classify in medical, but it's always, that's a big term for us. Because when everybody, it's just, they group a lot of stuff in medical.
Yeah, I certainly was when I was asking that question. So I'm glad that you clarified. Because that seems like it should have about five different categories.
It should. You know, and a lot of us is just instant reporting. So you'll see, like, our annual report will probably put around, I would say, about 1,500 calls in the medical. But there's just a lot in medical that we do, search and rescue. If we're up doing, pulling something off of Saddle Mountain, which isn't our district, but we'll help Tillamook Head. You know, we worked with the Coast Guard. We do jet skis at a seaside. We do just about a little of everything because we have to. And then all of our career staff are usually trained, cross-trained in water too. So even I get to do the swim test every year to make sure that we can assist our lifeguards or get on the skis and do that stuff. So it's, I always tell my guys, when, especially when I bring a guy on or hire him, career, don't anticipate what you're going to do. Don't ride a schedule, because they all get frustrated right off the bat. Chief, you told me to do this. And then, you know, you're out doing wildfire and then you're done for the day, or you're out doing water. Sometimes you'll see me in the tower. We just don't have the staffing, so we bump down to help. So it's interesting to, you really have to kind of bundle things up and go, okay, what can I get done? And then, you know, I get that call from the state, because I'm the one that coordinates all the response for the state, for Wyland, for the county. So they'll call me and say, hey, we need a task force to go to Bend. All right. And we try to get them out of here within an hour. So it's everybody getting coordinated. So our county works so well together. We spent 18 days down in LA in January. A lot of people probably don't know that. We fought the Palisades fire.
Oh my goodness.
We helped clean up and mop up that. So a lot of that going out, and everybody's like, well, so we don't have a lot of resources. It's a lot of valuable training that hopefully we never have to use, but we are surrounded by forests. So we all know it's real dry this year. So hopefully we don't have an issue in our area, but I think we have a lot of good trained people because of us deploying.
So what was the most memorable or worst fire that you ever participated in fighting?
Oh, man. Fire? We've had a lot. I mean, over my career, I got to do the Astoria fire, the Pier 11 fire. That was, took us forever.
Yeah.
Cross from McDonald's. I think I was on that for 14 hours. Seaside, we had the 11th Avenue fire where we had a wind driven. It took about a little block of three or four houses out there. You know, the ones that unfortunately stick with me are probably I ran the plane crash in Gearhart.
I was wondering about that one.
So I was actually the incident commander on that. And, that was a little, those are the ones that stick with you. And then as you get older, unfortunately, anything that has to do with somebody younger than you sticks with you. So at that time I was pretty young, so things didn't stick as much. And now that you have kids, things just bother you more. So those are probably the ones. And then the water rescues where, you know, we just didn't get a chance to save somebody. We don't save everybody. We do our best, but all those probably stick with you more.
So speaking of your family, because I adore your wife as well, Jamie, and you do have your son here. Tell us about that connection and what you guys are doing in the community, because you're coaching too. I mean,
I
besides working all the time.
Yeah.
What are you guys plugged into?
Well, you know, I don't do as much like rotary and stuff like that that I think that my job normally you'll see the fire chief do, but I like to do the other outs things. We do all the chains for the home football games. Seaside's done that for probably 50 years. I've done it for the last 17 with Seaside. I do a lot of coaching. I like to kids coach. I've always been coached kids. That's fun. And then we try to get involved with anything to do with escorting our kids that are going to state tournament. So all the schools now in Seaside are in Seaside. So when we're escorting them off, it's usually us getting a phone call to get them out. And there's a lot of them. So
that's pretty awesome. And so what are the sports that you did that your son is doing, or is there even any crossover?
There is. I was actually got the privilege of being on our 1995 state championship team for Seaside. I was a senior. So that's probably one of my highlights of my life. But my son loves playing football, but he doesn't play any of the right positions. So, I love defense. He loves playing quarterback.
He does good at it. Nice.
He's done some line stuff, and I got to play the line. So that's loves baseball. He loves all the sports I love, but we really try not to push him into anything that we want to do. We ask him, hey, it's up to you. If you want to try it, try it. So, I'm not a history buff. I know we're in a museum.
Yeah.
He's a history buff. I don't know where he gets it. So he loves history. So.
Well, you're in the right spot.
That's right. So, you know, every firefighter I ever talk to, there is downtime between action. Not a lot, because you're still doing the maintenance stuff and doing all kinds of things. But I hear every firefighter has told me some kind of goofy, funny story behind the scenes. So what is your goofy, family-friendly, can say it on the air story? Because so many of them are not appropriate. But.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff that happens at the firehouse. That's for sure. Career-wise... Gosh, I don't know. We've had some interesting things. I don't know how much that I really want to go into that one. But
all right. It's always that one that comes to mind.
Right?
There's so many. I would hate to leave something out. So
too much fun.
Yeah.
So tell us some of the things. What is it that keeps you here? What are the activities that you like to do, or the reason that you're still living in Seaside?
I think, you know, again, having the dream job, I'm sure we could go, you know, there's probably some people chase the money, and I don't think that's necessarily life. It's the quality of life. I think, you know, Clatsop County, for instance, we have a lot of things to do outside and a lot of things we enjoy doing. And I love the small time atmosphere. You know, everybody knows everybody here. I could go be in a bigger city and nobody would know who you were. So,
yeah. That's true.
There are pluses, minuses.
I know. All the things.
All the things.
Well, we sure appreciate your service to our community, especially with the Seaside Fire Department, and then everything else that you're doing as well, coaching. Those are all the things. Those are the things that help build our community. It doesn't have to be Rotary and other service organizations. Our kids' youth sports fill up all of our time and all of our mileage.
And here's hoping that you have... You know, a very boring year without any calls at all.
We do hope
and,
so.
Yeah, they're only the good things. So,
yes, thank you so much.
You're definitely appreciated. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you. I just do want to put a plug in for all of our volunteers throughout the county. It takes a lot to run this county and make it the way it is. So, thank you, all the volunteers and career staff throughout Clatsop County.
Indeed. All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.